Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
Dan Bernstein.
Sucking the joy out of sports.
Middays on The Score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, visit your local Hyundai dealer and the first ever 8-passenger Hyundai Palisade. We are busy today. We are going to talk to Dan Robson, the senior writer, head of features for the Athletic Canada. He wrote a long-form magazine piece about one of the potential new Chicago Bulls top executives. So this guy is it's a great piece of writing and a really... It's a persuasive look at why Bobby Webster should be the guy to run the Bulls if you like a certain kind of Renaissance-type thinker. And we're going to talk to Dan Robson about that and about him, about this potential Bulls top exec coming up at 10. At 10:20, we're going to talk to Northwestern's mental performance coach. Her name is Audrey Grunts. She's a licensed clinical social worker, and she can tell us about how the young athletes in our lives, maybe you, maybe if you're a high school or college athlete, or if you are the parent of an athlete of any age who is looking forward to a sports season that doesn't exist, the ways we can deal with that. And she's got an ebook out on how to handle some of that stuff, how to talk to kids about it, how to work people through it. And personally, I know I've got one here, probably still asleep down the hallway, but it's tough to handle when you get all excited and go through tryouts and get ready for a sports season. There's a process with which we can help our kids deal with it, or maybe deal with it ourselves a little bit. So she's going to give us some tips at 10:20, a special edition of the Midday Midway at 10:40. Looks at some news in the Tiger King universe. At 11 o'clock, Jared Diamond, national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal, has got a new book out called Swing Kings, The Story of Baseball's Home Run Revolution. Look forward to talking to him then. We get trivia questions. We're going to play Who Am I? I've got one, an NBA Who Am I that I've been holding for a while. Look forward to doing that coming up in just a little bit. And other things just sort of popping through the weekend. Also, we're going to start doing a new thing at 11:40 every day. I thought it would be a good idea because we're not doing transitions now, because for technical reasons, we've got these lines that we can't be on the same line at the same time. So it just logistically, it makes it really difficult to do transition. But I think it's important that we keep these connections with the different shows, with the different Score personalities, and continue to have that sort of cross-pollination. So each day at 11:40, it is our plan here on the Midday Show to have another Score personality jump in and just say hey and just talk about whatever. And Danny Parkins is going to lead us off today. The Score's afternoon host is going to jump in at 11:40, and then we'll change it up. It'll be a different person from a different show every day. Yes, yes, yes. I know what you're saying. Even Grobber, maybe even Grobber. We're going to try to do that and just keep it all mixed up and connected at the same time. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at Bernstein@670thescore.com. You can send an email. You can do that. It's just now. It is Bernstein@670thescore.com. You can send a text to 67011. The text zone is brought to you by Rose Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at RosenHyundai.com. apply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein670. My personal Twitter account, which can be sort of odd and different in that regard because it's a personal account, that is at Dan_Bernstein. Download the Radio.com app that helps you stream the score on your mobile devices, and you can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer, and the executioner, Ray Diaz, is the man on the board. I think we're missing a little something in... We're jumping ahead in the Bulls story here, and the story broke shortly after we got off the air on Friday that it is now official. We had the Woj bomb, where Adrian Wojnarowski did say that the Bulls chairman, Michael Reinsdorf, is now officially looking for an organizational top executive. And it's real quick to say, okay, who, what are the names? And we did that. And we looked at all the names, whether it's Heat assistant GM Adam Simon or Bobby Webster from the Raptors, who we're going to talk about coming up at 10 o'clock, or Justin Zanuck, the GM of the Utah Jazz, Michael Winger, the GM of the Clippers. There's all sorts of names out there. But the fact that it's actually happening is great. We are at the point where there is actually an understanding at the very top of the Bulls organization that they can't keep doing what they have been doing, that the rapidly evolving NBA is doing a different kind of business than the Bulls are doing at the moment. And I just think it's fantastic, as a long-suffering Bulls fan, and recently suffering, that there is, despite what they had professed, and despite, frankly, what Michael Reinsdorf himself had said. And I give him a lot of credit for having been transparent, because I think he changed his mind. And I think that's great. I think there is a lack of stubbornness where he very easily could have said, hey, I'm the guy that sat there on these Score airwaves and said, we've got to believe in what John Paxson is doing, and we have Doug Collins, and we have Jim Paxson, and we have this sort of loose confederation of basketball intellect that's around and running the team. And they dig in with Jim Boylan, and they extend Jim Boylan. But I give Michael credit for not only seeing what's in front of him, but seeing what other teams are doing and reaching out and trying to solicit the advice of other people around the league and understanding that this isn't good enough anymore. That they, if they do it right, and I keep saying if they do it right, that means this idea, the lingering aspect we have here is what's leaking out in some of the news, that obviously Gar Forman is going to be sent. What did Joe Cowley tell us the other day? That one of the Bulls brass told him that he's, you know, scouting in Siberia somewhere. That's fine. You want to keep him on the payroll. You want to have him send scouting reports on guys elsewhere. That's fine. The idea of John Paxson in an advisory capacity, as long as it means in some emeritus advisory capacity, and you can have him in an office at the end of the hallway, but out of the power structure, removed from the power structure, even if he is allowed to weigh in here or there, whoever this new person is, whoever your new czar is, has to be able to reshape the organization, has to be in full command of everything, of budgeting, of job titles, of bringing in his people, essentially. And this is what really intrigued me about this, the piece that Dan Robson wrote about Bobby Webster, is that he is how reminiscent he is of Theo Epstein in a varied educational background, a relentless amount of curiosity, and the same kind of guiding idea of what don't we know? What must we know? What don't we know? And Webster seems to be that guy. I sort of get that. You know, part of it is the recency effect when right after you read a piece like this, and because I haven't done the same deep dives on Adam Simon and some of these other names there, because I haven't done that, it's easy for me to lean toward a desire for them to hire this particular guy. And I get that. I get the effect of that. But it's so impressive. A guy who was working for he had a low-level security clearance in CIA. He was learning economics in Spanish in Spain. I mean, he's from Hawaii. He's got a really interesting background. And his dad's from Chicago. He grew up, he said his bedroom, his posters on, literally the posters on his bedroom wall were Michael Jordan and Ryan Sandberg. Ryan, not Ryan Sandberg. And maybe when he comes in for the interview, maybe it matters to him everything we've been saying about their trophies and about what their standards are. And it's taken a long damn time. And I think part of it is for me, it's the timing, the juxtaposition of the documentary that's coming out regarding the last Bulls championship team and seeing how long ago it was and feeling how long ago it was. And those trophies are there. But now we're finally getting around to actually trying to hold them to a modern championship standard. And it's going to take, it's going to be pretty close. I don't know if it's quite what the Cubs had to do of modernizing, because some of the infrastructure is there. It's not literally what the Cubs had to do to build offices and tear out walls and put in reasonable conference room space and everything that they actually needed to get into modern business. I think the Bulls are a little bit further along in that regard. But when it comes to their scouting, when it comes to how they do things, when it comes to how they look at players, I think getting into names is great, but the fact that they're actually doing this is really cool. They're taking this time to say, this isn't good enough. Whatever we've been doing isn't good enough. And I forgot the actual stat. There was somebody, like, there's been more popes and various other entrenched world leaders have turned over faster than the John Paxson regime. Like, the amount of change that this Bulls team has survived, the number of quote-unquote rebuilds that they've been allowed to do is absolutely staggering. So it was neat to see how many Bulls fans were just sort of waking up to the fact that all the rumor, everything that we'd heard, everything that we talked about, that they're actually doing this. You know, we can go back, and I know Ray has got some of this sound. In February, John Hollinger, longtime NBA guy, he now works for The Athletic, and John Hollinger was on in February when we were talking about this. And hell, even throughout most of last season, every NBA guy we had on, we would always say, who's on your short list if the Bulls were to make a move, if they were to finally end the Paxson regime and Gar-Pax, however you want to phrase it, and bring in somebody, who would it be? And we were compiling a list of names forever. But I want you to hear, before we get to the names, I want you to hear John Hollinger spend about a minute talking about how you structure a good front office.
There's a lot of important people decisions that need to be made. It's hard to say which of those is the single most important, right? But you need the scouting infrastructure, the medical infrastructure, and the player development infrastructure. And you need all three of those things to be good. You need to select good players, need to have them upright and available for the games, and you need to have the staff who can get the most out of those players to have them achieve their potential. So it's really three completely different prongs. And so to say which of those is more important than the others is difficult. And then obviously, you know, there's stuff that goes deeper than that. You still have to make the right choices on personnel and draft and trades and all that, and select the right coach. And that's why it's hard, though.
What's interesting there, upright and available. Upright and available. That was a term that should resonate with you, the Bulls fan. To put the medical/training piece on the same level as the other aspects, that wasn't a secondary aspect. He said three prongs right there. He talked about the pillars of that front office, upright and available.
And that goes to the excuse making. That goes to, well, Derek got hurt. Well, Derek got hurt. Well, Derek got hurt. Well, we had injuries. It's not an excuse, because good organizations have their players upright and available, and they have multiple fallback redundancies if, in fact, problem with uprightness and availability. So my hope would be that this isn't just the health, the training, the injury prevention, return from injury, that is absolutely rebuilt from scratch, that whoever the new person is can create a system to of player health and availability that is looked at with exactly that kind of seriousness. That's really important. All right, so more from Hollinger right here. Let's get to some of the names that were on his list. These were some of the guys that he had as far as top candidates. And this is back in February. These were the names on his short list.
Two of the top guys you would think of would be Bobby Webster in Toronto and Michael Zarin in Boston, both of whom have been in their positions for a long time to accumulate a lot of experience, but still haven't gotten their turn yet to run their own franchise, but have won championships and been in big parts of teams that won championships. So I think those are names that would probably be at the top of the list. Justin Zanuck in Utah is like technically the GM there, but Dennis Lindsay is kind of overseeing as the president. So I don't know if he'd even be available or not, but he'd certainly be a name that would be out there.
First name off his tongue was Webster from Toronto, Mike Zarin, Celtics, Justin Zanuck, Utah Jazz. These are all names that we've heard, and as far as we know, there are on that list, you can add Adam Simon, of course. Chad Buchanan from the Pacers has decided he wants to remain with the Pacers. Cool on him, that's fine. But Casey Johnson was on a little bit earlier today with Mully and Haw talking about what this position actually is and what kind of power he expects this new person to have. I want to hear from him in just a second. Also want to get your phone calls, find out what you think as a Bulls fan. The fact that the ball is rolling on this. We're not just speculating anymore. This is real. There is going to be change at the top of the Bulls organization. It's a big deal. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score. Sports Radio 670, The Score. Dan Bernstein with you until noon. We're going to get really busy. It gets guesty at 10. We've got a very special Tiger King-related edition of the Midday Midway at 10:40 as well. We're going to talk some baseball with Jared Diamond. Right now, we're talking basketball. And if you could see me right now, you would be making fun of me because I'm sitting all weird. I had been sitting on this little, love seat thing with the computer set up on the ottoman. Not Terry's ottoman that talks to him and has sports thoughts for him. That's different. But I'm sitting on the floor because I have to stretch my left leg out. I look like Tony Pena or Benito Santiago at the moment because I popped a hamstring on Saturday because I am two things. I am old and I'm an idiot. And it was kind of cold out, but it was really nice out. And my son wanted to go throw a ball. So usually we go to this little area near the house and just, do quick toss and crow hops and quick exchanges, kind of, pull downs, that kind of thing. But it's like, no, let's go to the park and really let it rip a little bit. So I'm fine. We'll do long toss. So we're doing legit long toss back and forth, and I'm feeling pretty good. Finally starting, go warm up a little bit, and I'm feeling really good. So I'm kind of letting it go, and then pop. Damn it. And I knew it the moment it happened. I felt like I got sniped in the back of my left thigh. Something bit me. And so then it's like, can you call mom and have her come pick us up? Because I'm not walking home. And so that happened, which kind of sucks. But that's what happens when you're old and when you're stupid. But that's not why you called. Because we're talking about the Bulls. We're talking about how that search is going to occur. Now, the officially reported search for someone to lead the Bulls organization
out of the desert and across the parted Red Sea and somewhere into the land of milk and honey. The 847 texter says, but Paxson's still involved. None of this means anything until they actually do something. They've talked the talk before. Another 847 texter, who's running this search? This organization's been so bad and so laughable for so long, I don't trust them to run a proper search. I get it. I understand why I can't tell you to trust them. I can't tell you you have to. But just looking at these names and cross-checking these names with the lists that we have seen in the past and all of the well-recommended names and everybody we've talked to, this looks like a really good short list. And it looks to me like Michael Reinsdorf is running this and is soliciting decent enough advice to be putting this list together. Let's grab a phone call, 312-644-6767, before we hear from Casey Johnson. This is Lynn on the south side on the score. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, good morning. Just a quick question and a point. I was just saying, I didn't see the whole list, but I was curious of why nobody's mentioning why that there are no minorities or African-Americans, and I'm not even sure if there's any minorities in upper management, actually. And my question is, while we're spinning our wheels, wondering why some of the young African-American players don't want to come to the Bulls, maybe that might be one of the issues. Maybe they know that more than we do, that there's no prominent African-Americans in the Bulls organization.
Well, you're saying two different things right here. You're saying that there are no black names on the list, and then you're saying that the Bulls somehow have a reputation for not employing them. So I don't know that they have that reputation, and obviously they'd love to have the top of the Raptors organization in Masai Ujiri, who's probably the best at what he does anywhere. But Masai Ujiri's right hand, the guy who does a lot of the actual work around there, is Bobby Webster, the guy we're going to be talking about with Dan Robson at 10 o'clock. So the very, very top of the Raptors organization is that guy. To be honest with you, I have not heard any component whatsoever, whether in the search or whether in the Bulls' reputation, of having anything to do with that or standing in the way of the Bulls finding the absolute right person. So you ask, what is this job? What exactly are they looking for? And what is this person going to be empowered to do? Well, Casey Johnson of Comcast Sportsnet Chicago was on earlier today with Mully and Haw, and he had a pretty thorough explanation as to what this job is.
I think some people will probably disagree with this. I know fans are incredibly disgruntled with this franchise right now. I think, me personally, and then I will also say some reporting I've done, yeah, for a piece that's going to be coming up on NBCSportsChicago.com. I don't think it's a good job. I think it's a great job. You've got a major market here, obviously, in Chicago. You've got the history and tradition of the franchise. You've got clean books going into 2021. You got all your first-round draft picks. You've got some of the best facilities in the entire league. The Advocate Center is just spectacular. It really is. The United Center and, you know, the Bulls and Blackhawks do a great job of keeping that building up. The roster has got some intriguing pieces. It's not a great roster, but it's not a bad roster. I mean, you can say what you want about John Paxson and Gar Forman. Even their biggest critic, I think, if you put them on a lie detector test, would say they've drafted well. And, you know, you haven't had much lottery luck lately, but Wendell Carter Jr. and Kobe White at number 7 both look like nice young pieces. I know Markkanen has regressed this year. I think he's very salvageable. I think everybody would argue that Zach LaVine took a step this year. So I think this roster has actually got decent potential. It's still a ways away. You're still in a rebuild. It's not easy to exit a rebuild, but I think it's a very, very attractive job. And the other reason I think it's an attractive job is you're going to be given the keys to the kingdom. This is full authority to make basketball decisions. This is the number one job. John will be around. We all know how much the Reinsdorfs like and value him. But, you know, John's not going to be hovering. That's not who John is. You guys know John. He wants what's best for the Bulls. He will not be hovering. So this person, whoever they hire, will be allowed to bring in additional staff, is my understanding. So they're going to be able to build out this infrastructure the way he sees fit. So I think this is a really good job, and that's why it's critical the Bulls get this hire right.
keys to the kingdom will not be hovering. That's strong stuff from somebody who knows the Bulls as well or better than anybody. And the infrastructure will matter. I mean, remember, I keep comping this to Theo, because you have to, because that's really what you want. You want somebody in full charge to come in with a set of eyes with a completely new aesthetic and say, I'm hiring a general manager below me. I am hiring a director of scouting. I'm going to hire a director of pro personnel, however he wants to structure the organization. And people say, yeah, they're so far away. They're so far away. Well, what would you have said? This is the thing. Look at the Raptors. Look at what the Heat have done, too. Look at these teams where Kawhi Leonard leaves, and they don't miss a beat. They don't miss a beat because of the structure that they have, because of the player development, because of the system that they have. What they did, what the Raptors did with their D-League team that is in, it's in Ontario, G-League, D-League, I know. They made sure that there was a top-down structure to how they're coached, to terminology, to play design, to expectations. They made a seamless experience for guys like Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam to understand that once you are indoctrinated into how things are done at this level, it's going to be seamless by the time you arrive at the NBA level. That's really, in some ways, the baseball model for having done stuff like this. And the Raptors lose a star, an absolute top five championship-winning star, and they stay not just good, not just okay, but arguably the best team in their division. Text from the 224. It says, Dan, we don't have to talk in absolutes. I'm not saying you are. It is a problem that Paxson will still be involved. It limits the pool. It tethers the organization to his baggage around the league, and it doesn't make the hire completely meaningless. The names on the search list are good. Having a name in the organization will make the Bulls better. I unequivocally believe that Paxson and Foreman need to be fired outright for the Bulls to reach their full potential as a major market heritage franchise. It says, hiring one of these names will move the Bulls closer to competency. And maybe that's all we can hope for. I'm more optimistic than that. And I think hearing the way Casey Johnson phrased it right there is the way you want to think of this. If this doesn't happen, I don't think, if there is a sentiment that Paxson is going to be lingering and lurking and hovering, as Casey said, and peaking. I don't think you do this then. I don't think this happens unless there is a full understanding that this young person is going to be in charge. And I don't think Bobby Webster takes a job where he thinks he's going to have somebody looking over his shoulder. That's what drove Theo Epstein out of Boston. It was the same kind of dynamic where Larry Lucchino was still there and still suggesting things. Why don't you sign Carl Crawford? Why don't you sign some of these free agents? Why don't you go do some of this? And that's what drove him out of there, was not having the kind of control that he was promised when he got to Chicago. A note from Rudy via email. It's not that I don't trust the reporting, and this may be the most meatball email I'll send. I'm conditioned to not believing the Bulls will change till I see and hear a press conference with my own eyes and ears and roll this out the right way, whoever it is. Said, I don't know the NBA enough to give you the right basketball czar, but just say this is the guy. Says, no nonsense about Pax. Don't mention Derrick Rose at any point, and fire the coach. Then and only then am I in. I cannot envision. I knew this would, it would eventually get around to the idea of, you know, what's going on with Jim Boylan and the whole thing. I cannot envision any of the names involved, any one of these people, wanting to keep Jim Boylan around. And I'll go so far as to say that even if it's Bobby Webster, even if it's Adam Simon or Mike Zarin or any of these guys who have been so well respected, if Jim Boylan is the Bulls coach underneath this new person, if this new person comes in, assesses every level of the organization and decides that Jim Boylan is the head coach, I'm out. That you talk about an immediate loss of respect. If you want to move him down to make the third assistant on the bench if you want to keep him around to run a shoot around here and there and have him do what he always should be doing, and that is just maybe having a clipboard and standing up and occasionally clapping his hands and waving a towel or whatever he's supposed to do, if you want him to do that, maybe kind of okay. But if he remains head coach, that is your first sign that this thing is completely screwed up and they hired the wrong person. I will go that far, because there is no way in my mind. I'm confident enough in the basketball intellect of whoever they may hire that one thing that they know for sure is that he's not the guy. 773 texter, Dan, what makes you even a bit optimistic given their history the last 20 years? Because I'm not basing it on their history the last 20 years. I'm basing it on the fact that they're trying to, this is when you do something new, you're trying to get away from that history. That's the whole point. The history of the 20 years is with John Paxson running things. What they're doing right now is saying he's not running things anymore, so I'm not basing it on the history for the last 20 years. This is a new controlling ownership interest with Michael Reinsdorf taking over the reins, and obviously his dad is still going to be involved in advising him and should be, smart guy, but I'm not going to hold it against him. I'm going to give them this chance. I'm telling you, I about did cartwheels on Friday when I saw that this is actually happening and it's real and saw the names involved and saw it come from Adrian Wojnarowski about all the information that he's hearing. I think it's a big deal to be put in charge of the sleeping giant that is the Chicago Bulls, to be able to have a chance to be in control of a franchise with this kind of power. And maybe, just maybe, again, the timing of the documentary, the timing of The Last Dance, of seeing what it was like, is just a reminder to people of, like, holy crap, when this thing is on, when this thing is, when the Bulls matter, they mattered to the world. They mattered everywhere. The comps to the Beatles were not just, that wasn't just a casual little blithe reference. That was legit about the phenomenon that they were. And maybe it can never be like that again because everything is globalized and things feel different, but there's an opportunity to restore something here that I think, as Casey Johnson pointed out, should be very attractive to somebody who's thinking about how many chances you get to have your team, to be in charge of an NBA team. This is one where you've got infrastructure, you've got resources, you've got the worldwide brand. I would think it would be pretty attractive. Boy, look at the texters. You know, here, can't keep boiling at all. Look at the coup attempts under his regime. Need a clean slate. Yeah, look, believe me, I would fire him into the moon and leave him there. And he can have the, you know, moon across his chest as he's, you know, running around there in a spacesuit. That would be fine with me. Ideally, you cut ties with any number of people. And this goes to, and again, when Hollinger said it, upright and available, make sure that in this interview process, you are getting someone who understands the importance of science and medicine and training and the best possible practices in keeping people healthy, in understanding wear and tear, in making sure you are not predisposing players to physical risk, because that has sunk this team as much as anything else. While we're talking NBA, I wanted to do this. Before we go to break, I want to play this game, Who Am I? Because I've been holding this one. This is a fun one. We have done Who Am I? And what we have been doing as an ongoing little bit of trivia here, just to keep things interesting, we've been doing an athlete where I give you a profile or interesting facts about the athlete, and you try to figure out who it is. So as we go to break here, I'm going to test your basketball knowledge. I'm going to test your NBA knowledge here, because this one is an active, current NBA player. So I'm going to play Who Am I? I am an active NBA player. I was a second round pick. I am a four-time NBA All-Star. I'm now on my third team. I have averaged in 945 career games. I've averaged 14.1 points and 7.4 rebounds. I'm the number 7 active leader in all-time offensive rebounds, 9th active leader in all-time rebounding. Again, 4-time All-Star, current player. And I'm the only player in NCAA history to lead the nation in rebounding for 3 consecutive years as a collegian. The only NCAA player to lead the nation in rebounding for 3 consecutive years. I ask you, who am I? I will have the answer to that when we come back. I'm Dan Bernstein. We're going to talk more about a candidate for this Bulls president's job coming up at the top of the hour. What a, just a terrific writer, Dan Robson of The Athletic Canada, wrote a long piece about Bobby Webster. We're going to talk to him. That's coming up at the top. Busy day today. Fun stuff on The Score. Nice job by some of the texters who, I think it's really the college trivia question that allowed people to probably Google this and grab the answer. But I love finding people you don't think about all that often who tend to slip through the cracks. And that seems to be the case as we play Who Am I here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Bernstein with you. I'm actually Dan Bernstein, but for the purposes of this bit, I am assuming the persona of the mystery athlete. Active NBA player, 2nd-round pick, 4-time NBA All-Star. I'm on my 3rd team. I've averaged 14.1 points and 7.4 rebounds in 945 games. And I am the only player ever in college basketball history to lead the nation in 3 consecutive years. I will give you the comps. These are the career similarity scores for a career. The most similar players to me are P.J. Brown, David West, Rashard Lewis, Carmelo Anthony, Antoine Jameson, A.C. Green, Alex English, Terry Cummings, Dennis Rodman, and Clifford Robinson. Now that is a list. Some good guesses here. Al Horford is a popular guess. DeAndre Jordan, Draymond Green, Kenneth Faried, Blake Griffin. No, the answer, and I love, by the way, in our G-chat for the show, Jay, I have 0 clue, Dan, and Ray Diaz, me either, LOL. The answer is, I am Paul Millsap. That would have taken you a while, would it not? Because I have so much fun finding these. I feel like a prospector sort of panning for gold as I look for some of these. But we're going to do this. We're going to try to fit a time here and there. Each show, I'm going to put a list together. So it's going to be, we're going to span all sports as much as we can to put together the game Who Am I that we're going to try to play each day. I had a funny interaction too over the weekend with our buddy, the baseball writer from Baseball Prospectus, Matthew Trueblood. There have been so many games and little time wasters and opinions and silly things to fight over that make the rounds on Twitter. And one that was making the rounds was, I don't know if you guys saw this, it is a grid of 9 candy bars posted to Twitter. Just that, 9 candy bars. And each one is given a number, and then you pick 3 of the 9. All it said was, Mama only gave you enough for 3. And there is a tic-tac-toe board here, and it has as follows. I'm going to read left to right, top to bottom. Snickers, Twix, Mr. Goodbar, Reese's, Baby Ruth, 3 Musketeers, Milky Way, Butterfinger, 100 grand. Now, I saw Matthew Trueblood made his picks, and I tweeted at him, and I said, he said, this makes me basic, but these are mine. My response to him was, that is objectively correct. That I think this isn't opinion. This is fact. There is a correct, and this is outside of your dumbass allergies, whatever that might be. Yeah, sure, it might kill you when you go into anaphylactic shock. Duh, whatever. Duh. Fine. I think there's a correct 3. Now, Jay, I don't know what your... Let me just read them again.
Snickers, Twix, Mr. Goodbar, Reese's Baby Ruth, Three Musketeers, Milky Way, Butterfinger, 100 grand.
Well, there's one that's there's one that everyone has to choose. Snickers is a perfect candy bar.
Yes.
It's got everything
you need. It's a perfect food. Yeah.
Yes. It's got peanuts, chocolate, caramel, nougat. It's everything you want in a candy bar. The right taste of chocolate. It doesn't have like the kind of powdery, weird chocolate that a Baby Ruth has. Snickers is the number one power ranking candy bar.
Yep.
No doubt.
Okay. That was my one of ones.
All right.
I don't know, first of all, how Mr. Goodbar got on this list. I don't think I've ever in my life eaten an actual Mr. Goodbar candy bar. I've only seen it as a kid where, like, my mom for Bridge Club would get the bag of minis that had regular Hershey's, Hershey's Special Dark, Crackle, give me Crackle, and the little Mr. Goodbars, and that's the only time I think I've ever had them.
Yeah, and there'd be a bowl of Mr. Goodbars when the party was over.
Yep, that's the one left at the bottom, and I would eat all the Crackle!
Yeah, Crackle, I like Crackle a lot. It's more chocolatey than a Crunch Bar, but I prefer the Crunch Bar. Do you want my three here? My three here is pretty simple.
I want your
three. All right, this is very tough for me. Snickers number one, for sure. Reese's number two, that's for sure. Tough decision for me between Twix and Three Musketeers, but as a marshmallow enthusiast, nope. I love Three Musketeers. It's my go-to.
Okay.
I think the packaging works on me, too. I like the silver and blue look. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for Three Musketeers.
I always thought that the shiny silver-blue pack, it didn't used to be that way. When I was a kid, it was just a regular white packaging. But once they went to silver and blue, it looked like the old American Airlines, like 727, for some reason. I was always just, that's what it looked like to me. It looked like an American Airlines plane. Here's the answer. It's 1, 2, 4. It's Snickers, Twix, Reese's, and that's it. Because Mr. Goodbar sucks. Baby Ruth is like, eh. And Milky Way's too soft. You keep expecting there to be more to it, and it sticks in your teeth. If you have Reese's, you don't need Butterfinger, because that's got your peanut butter thing. And I would say that my bench player is 100 grand.
100 grand is solid.
Yep, 100 grand is my bench player. There is no candy bar that causes you to drool on like second bite. The amount of drool you actually get in your mouth from 100 grand, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's the combination of the rice and like the toothsomeness of the caramel, but it's a that's the slurpiest bite of candy bar. So that would be my fourth. But it's 1, 2, 4, and I'm not gonna hear you and your Three Musketeers. It's not marshmallow.
Well, that's a safe draft for you. You're not gonna get fired for that. You're not reaching at all. You know you're going to have a really good team with those three as your starting three. I just like Three Musketeers. I just like the texture of it. I understand it's probably not the best of those. But just for me, it's my list. I could do with it as I please, Dan. I like the Three Musketeers. Can I say, by the way?
Yes.
One day, on a whim, back when I was allowed in the office, I went and got a Baby Ruth. Baby Ruth kind of sucks.
Yep.
It's like oddly shaped, and the chocolate's weird, and like, when you take a bite of the chocolate kind of cracks off.
The chocolate's
dry. I don't know what the deal
is
with that. It's dry. How is it?
The chocolate's dry, and I don't know exactly why that is, but the chocolate is dry, and I've never craved one. There's never been a point where it's like, man, that looks good right now. Or, you know, your kid brings it home and sets it down, and you feel like, I'm gonna have some of that because it's my kid and I deserve some of it just because I'm raising you and there's a tax on that. You tithe, I think, to the church of me, and I get a bite of it. But it's sort of like at remotes when I used to take somebody's chicken wing off their plate because, look, you're coming to see the show. I'm entitled to grab a chicken wing. Boy, those were different times, weren't they?
Yeah, that will never happen again.
Yeah, never.
By the way, for fat guys like me. Oh, speaking of that, welcome Andy Reid to the Onion Ring of Honor. He's the winner of most fatness.
Yeah, congratulations. How was the voting on that? What did it end up?
It was 50.7 to 49.3. Andy Reid beat out air conditioning and fans. Super close. Yeah,
wow.
It could not have been closer. And it ran all weekend, so good sample size. Yeah. What a year for Andy Reid, huh?
Incredible year. Are you going to try to let him know?
Yes, I am working on it. Absolutely. But I want to say, best time of the year for fat people, the Cadbury Cream Egg is back.
Ooh. Ooh.
Not a fan?
Ooh.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. I love them. No, the Easter candies from my sister used to love those Cadbury Cream Eggs, and I like the commercials, but that, and you like Marshmallow Peeps as a marshmallow fan?
Yeah, for some reason I have these arbitrary lines drawn in my brain, like, no, that's too far. like I can't have fried chicken on the bone for lunch. Like, for some reason that's my, like, no, I couldn't possibly do that. That's too unhealthy. Give me 20 McNuggets and fries instead. Like, I don't know. Peeps are one of those arbitrary lines. Like, there's no justification for me eating this at any point. Like, so it's not I have a little second. Sweet.
Wait, back up.
There's no logic to it.
Back up. I've known you this long, and you won't eat fried chicken on the bone for lunch.
Yeah, it's just for lunch. I'll have it for dinner. Like, I can't go. Like, if I'm doing the, I live in Homewood, so I'm driving down Halstead trying to decide what to get for lunch. Like, KFC and Popeyes are not an option. I don't know why. I will not let myself buy, like, a three-piece fried chicken lunch. Because, to me, that's too far. That's too unhealthy of a meal.
Back in my day, when I was a larger person and didn't care. The Score Studios on Belmont, on the way home, there was a grocery store on the north side of Belmont. What was it, a Butera? It was one of the, like, local smaller, and in the back, they made their own fried chicken. And I think it was one of these, like, grocery store chains, or like, it was like Chester Fried or something like that. Have you ever seen that? Where it's the kind, like a gas station, and it was phenomenal. And I would time it up, they would make it fresh, and I would get like a 5-piece and eat it in the car on my lap while driving home.
No tray or anything.
No.
Just loose chicken on your lap.
The box on my lap and with mashed potatoes and gravy.
Oh.
Open container in the box. That was
have I ever
lunch.
Given that sounds great. We live by Walt's grocery store. You have to set your watch back 20 years when you go in there, but they do have great, like, from the deli counter fried chicken ready to go, either tenders or chicken on the bone. It's great. But I've always contended that if you have, like, the perfect chicken meal, it's Brown's chicken, Popeye's biscuits, and KFC mashed potatoes, and you've got that's like the trifecta. Ooh. of takeout fried chicken items.
Ooh.
For me.
Yeah.
We need to make a little graph for that.
If you could mix and match. Yeah, because the quality control with Browns and such, you got to make sure you're at a good one, because there's sort of a wide range between.
Yes.
It doesn't have the same sort of corporate level of quality control, but without question, their chicken is the best. We have a little breaking news here.
Uh-oh.
I want to get to. Yeah, the breaking news on the Score is presented by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in 2 great tropical flavors. This is a tweet from Joel Beal of Golf Digest. He said, as reported last week, the British Open is canceled. That's a formal announcement expected today. Other announcements. The tour will begin in mid-June with no fans at the Memorial. So PGA Championship is August 6th, Ryder Cup September 25th, U.S. Open September 17th. The Masters will move to November. Whoa. Okay, then. Because golf you can do. Golf you can socially distance. You can have somebody, you know, somebody with the gloves on taking the pin out. I think that is going to be our most accomplishable of the major sports. So again, that's the breaking news. British Open canceled as expected. The tour, PGA Tour, will begin mid-June with no fans at the Memorial. PGA Championship August 6th, Ryder Cup September 25th, U.S. Open September 17th, Masters to November. Just the news of sports is enough to make you feel pretty good. We're going to talk a little NBA coming up next. Dan Robson of the Athletic Canada, who's really just a tremendous writer. He's the senior writer, head of features for the Athletic Canada. He wrote a big, long weekend-style piece a while back about Bobby Webster, a candidate for the Bulls president's job. We're going to talk to him about that in just a moment. Keep it here. I'm Dan Bernstein. You're listening to The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.